night. Thank you for making the sacrifice of being here. And I'd invite you to take your Bibles tonight, turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Tonight I'm going to speak on a subject that over the years has become a very near and dear theme in my life. It's been a part of my life in an increasing way, and it's in the realm of ministry or of serving the Lord. Folks, the fact of the matter is that every Christian needs to be ministering. I mean, serving. Saw a church sign many years ago, and it says, I forget what the church was, said such and such a church where every member is a minister. Now, I don't know that I totally believe that, but that would be great if it were true, right? If every member, think about it, if every member was actively serving the Lord. Now, I understand that there are some constraints within different churches to be able to serve. In other words, there are you know, sometimes there's enough people in serving in the different areas to where maybe all the spots are filled. That's very rare, right? That's very rare. But occasionally that may be. But here's the reality. It's not just a call to serve within the church. It's a call to serve without the church. And I'm not saying in the absence of the church. I mean outside of the four walls of your church ministry. Okay? We just don't serve the Lord here, which we should. We serve the Lord out there in a large array of arenas. And, you know, the Lord opened the door for me several years to go to start spending my summers at Camp Chautauqua in Chautauqua, Wisconsin. And I had been speaking there for just, you know, like maybe 2 or 3 weeks of regular teen camp or junior age camp. And the director, Randy Tannis, he asked me one summer, he said, hey, listen, would you be willing to take over the TEAM program? TEAM stands for Teens Entering Active Ministry. And it is a servant leadership program that we have for 10th through 12th graders. We have two sessions that go 3 weeks each. Each session has a new group of 10th through 12th graders. We can take upwards of 32 young people per session. And then we have another 2 weeks in which we will typically combine some of the kids from the first group and some of the kids from the second group for the last 2 weeks, although that might be changing here. Although this summer, we are kind of up in the air as far as what's going to happen with camp. And, you know, if we're only going to be able to do partially a summer of camp, or if we're going to get to do camp at all. But anyways, so servant leadership has become a really major emphasis in my life. It's not something that I haven't believed in. It's just something that, you know, when you're directing and you're engaged in it, it just becomes more and more meaningful in some ways. And so I am very concerned about it. I'm concerned that our young people understand it. I'm concerned that our church people understand it. I'm concerned that every Christian understand that their life needs to be used for serving the Lord. Now we come to John chapter 13 where Christ is having the Lord's, he's with his disciple and they're having the Last Supper, right? And so you come to it, and you would see in the first three verses, they go in, and they sit down, and they eat, and then notice what it says in verse 4. It says, Christ riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. Now, why did he do this? Well, because it was customarily a tradition that when you would go into a place, especially if it were someone's house, there would typically be a household servant that would meet you. You would remove your sandals, and they would then kneel, take a basin or a bowl of water with a towel, and they would wash and dry your feet. Why? Because, well, you had dirt roads. You shared that roads with a lot of other people, and you shared that road with animals. So there was a lot of nasty stuff that could accumulate on your feet over a period of walking the streets during the course of a day. And so, you know, who likes stinky feet in a house, right? And nasty, you know, dirty feet. So this was a custom that was done. Well, when they went into this house, it wasn't done. And nobody was thinking about anything else except for the Last Supper. except for Christ. He knew what was going on. So after supper, he rises and he girds himself, and notice what it does. It says in verse 5, after that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. I want you to see, there really are two lessons in this passage. There's a lesson in regards to forgiveness, and there is a lesson in regards to servanthood, okay, that you would find in this passage. My primary focus tonight is to speak more from the angle of service, although we will briefly touch on this matter of forgiveness that you would see throughout the text, okay? But understand, the main point of emphasis tonight is going to be in regards to serving. So tonight I want to speak to you about the meaning of ministry. What does ministry mean? Number one, ministry means active service. What is active service? Well, it means this. Service is a deliberate deed for an apparent or for a visible need. Okay? Service is a deliberate deed for an apparent or for a visible need. You see, Christ already knew what was happening here. He had observed, and no one had even paid attention to their feet. And so he took this opportunity to do a couple things, one of which was to teach them about the area of servanthood. So he girds himself with his towel, and he goes around and he washes their feet. I even quoted this verse the other night, but we are told that Jesus Christ came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. If you read through the Gospels, what do you read about Christ doing on a regular basis during His public ministry? He was ministering to the needs of others, right? He ministered to the spiritual needs of others by teaching and preaching, forgiving them of their sins. He was healing them. Right? Giving them relief from their physical infirmities. He was pointing to the fact that He was God come in the flesh, but He was there to minister to the needs of others. And it wasn't just haphazard, it was deliberate. And service should always be deliberate. But that means this. It means that we need to be looking and we need to be paying attention. Remember what I said, the last part of this point is about it's an apparent need or it's a visible need. Sometimes, though, we are so caught up in our living, and we're so caught up with our daily concerns and burdens and all that, and I get all that, okay? All right? But sometimes we get the blinders on in our lives, and we forget to look for opportunities. Even within our own homes, we sometimes forget to look for opportunities to serve others. So active ministry means a deliberate deed for an apparent need. Secondly, service assumes the position of a servant. I do not want to over-spiritualize these verses, but I do think it's pretty interesting that you cannot serve until you place yourself in the position to serve. The Bible says here in verses 4 and 5 that he rose from supper, he laid aside his garment, his outer garment. He would then girded himself with a towel, he took water, and then he began to wash the disciples' feet. Okay? Now let me tell you something. There's only one way that you can wash those feet really well. And that was to have those things assembled, the basin and the towel. But then the next thing that you would have to do is you'd have to put yourself in a position to be able to wash those feet. Which would mean what? You would have to literally get on your knees, on your hands and your knees. And you'd have to take the leg, the foot, and you'd have to wash it, and you'd have to drive it. You had to assume the position of a servant. Okay? Now, for us, I think it's more of the position of the heart. Right? Something that I like to tell our team members at Camp Chautauqua is this. There is no job too lowly for you to do that you cannot do as an act of service to God. And in fact, one of the things that we try to teach our young people in our program is this, that serving the Lord isn't just simply standing up and preaching behind a pulpit. Serving the Lord isn't being in the choir and singing a song entirely. It's not just the piano player, the organ player. It's not just the ushers or just the sound. Folks, The Bible says a cold cup of water given in my name. That's an act of service. Straightening up hymn books, picking up trash, welcoming people. All right, doing other things that can be of benefit and help to others while ultimately seeking to glorify God and serve God. That is service, but it means that we have the heart to place ourselves in the arena to be able to serve. You can look at some, and listen, I know I've been in a lot of churches over my years, and I've met a lot of Christians, and I know a lot of critical Christians say, well, yeah, we ought to be doing this, and they ought to be doing that, and this should be done. But you know what? They never lift a finger to help. So they criticize and they complain, but they don't put themselves in the position to serve. Christ did not complain about the dirty feet. He did something about the dirty feet. He didn't suggest that someone else do it. He did it as an example to them, providing a very good lesson. Listen, folks, very simply, ministry means active service. Secondly, ministry means serving no matter the response. I think this is a major concern that we need to get down in our lives. Notice what happens starting verse 6. It says, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? You know, good old Peter. Peter and I would be really good buds because, you know, we're always just, you know, just whatever comes to mind. I mean, just first thing out of your mouth, you know, and sticking your foot in your mouth. And just, you know, that's just him. And it's me. And, you know, here's the reality as we look through these next several verses. I want you to get this concept in your heart. Because, folks, there's a lot of Christians that will not serve. And the reason why they don't serve is because it's all about the response. We need to serve no matter the response. And the first response that we encounter here is the response of astonishment. Do you see it? Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And not only is he astonished, he's in a, almost in a sense telling God no. Now he more emphatically says that, but it's really surprise. You ever done something for someone and they've just been totally shocked? What are you doing? Whoa, wait a minute. Why are you doing this? Have you ever had that kind of response when you've tried to do something for somebody and serve someone? Okay, you know what? And you know what? That can kind of be in some ways, it can kind of be a positive thing for us, right? Because we've surprised them, we've astonished them, and maybe that makes us feel good about ourselves that we've, you know, that we've done this. And oh, they're surprised and they're astonished and oh, you know, but you know what? Here's the thing. We don't serve for shock value. Okay? We do not serve so that we can get an astonished or surprised or overwhelmed response. We serve no matter the response. Then there is initial refusal as the next response. Look at verse 8. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Initial refusal. Jesus, you are Lord. You are Master. You, Lord, you shouldn't, you can't do this. I'm not going to let you do this to me. You ever try to serve someone? You ever try to do something to be of help and benefit to another Christian or maybe to an unbeliever? And what have they done? No. Now, wait a minute. No, you don't need to do this. You don't need to do this. Please don't do this. You know, or they're even, you know, they're even indignant about it initially, just like Peter was. And so they initially refuse you. Now, how long does that initial refusal last? Well, maybe it's just momentarily, just like it was with Peter. But maybe it's a matter of days. Or maybe it's a matter of weeks. Or maybe it's even years where you continually try to serve someone and they continue to refuse what you are trying to do for them in a variety of ways. Whatever it might be, okay? This is a negative response, like most of these. But again, understand, refusal is not what we use an excuse to stop serving. Notice, then, there's also the response of misunderstanding. Christ said in the latter part of verse 8, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Now he says, oh, okay, God, I want a bath. Well, he misunderstood this act of spiritual cleansing. The idea of forgiveness here. This is not in regards to being saved from your sins again, because the Bible says, folks, emphatically, over and over again, that salvation is a one-time decision. It's a one-time choice. What Christ is pointing out here is this, that when we sin, and why would he address this? Because he knew what Peter was going to do in just a few moments. You know, within a couple of hours or so. He knew that Peter was going to deny him. He knew that his disciples were going to flee from him. He knew what they were going to do in the rest of their earthly lives, that there were going to be times where they, even though they were believers in him, they were going to sin, just like we as believers sin. But what does 1 John 1:9 say? And by the way, that context is given to believers. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is what he is saying here when Christ said, you have no part with me. And then he says, well, wash my whole body. And he says, you don't need, if you look back at verse 10, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. What is that in referring to? Judas Iscariot, who had never truly placed his faith in Christ. He was not a believer, he was a fake. So that's why he said, but you're not all clean. The rest of these disciples, they were genuine believers in Christ, but they were not perfect, and they were going to sin. And Christ knew that. So he's setting this up. He's also, again, carrying out the service. But my main point is this. Folks, sometimes people are going to completely misunderstand your act of service. They're going to think that you have an agenda. They're going to think that you have some selfish motivation. They're going to think all kinds of things. They are going to completely miss the point of you serving them. Okay? Then notice another response. And again, it's found back in verse 9. Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my feet. Here is now the response of acceptance. You know, this is really the good one, right? This is what we desire. This is what we hunger and thirst for. We're witnessing to someone, and what do? They choose to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing that is, right? We seek to start discipling someone, and they're willing for us to work with them and disciple them. What a blessing that is. We're burdened to help a fellow brother or sister out, maybe financially, and they are just overwhelmed, and they're thankful, and they accept that with gratitude and with gratefulness. You know what? That's a wonderful thing, and there's all kinds of illustrations that we could go on. I think you guys are smart enough to get the picture. Your service being accepted is a wonderful joy, is it not? It's a blessing. But can I tell you something? We do not serve the Lord for positive responses. We serve the Lord because it is our opportunity to serve Him through serving others, no matter the response. Notice then the final response would be that of full and hypocritical rejection. That's why he says that you are clean, but not all, in verse 10. In verse 11 it says, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. You know, what a sad state, folks. Think about this. Judas Iscariot, having been with Christ all throughout his earthly ministry, professing to believe in Christ, playing the game so well that he was entrusted with the disciples' money. And while they are sitting here, after Christ dipped the bread in the sop, they still didn't have a clue that it was him who would betray Christ. You say, how did they not recognize this? But folks, he was a great con artist. You know what? There are some con artists in our churches. Now, when I say con artists, I'm not meaning that they're all unbelievers. Some of them are believers. But they're believers that only are using and abusing other Christians for what they can get out of them. So they play different games. They tug at the heartstrings and the emotions of other Christians. And what do those Christians do? Out of a heart of desire to serve, what do? They give of themselves. They sacrifice. They minister. And yet all this time, all it is just what I can get out of it. And they are in no way truly grateful. They are in no way returning, you know, and seeking to be of benefit and help to others and serve others. And on the other hand, you do have those who are unsaved. And yes, they'll accept charity. They'll accept kind deeds. They'll accept you helping them out in different ways. But yet, they will continue the offer to accept Christ as Savior over and over again. Folks, that's hurtful. It's sad. It's disappointing. It can even be discouraging to the point where we decide as Christians, you know what? If I'm going to be rejected like this, if I'm going to be misunderstood, then why do this at all? Because Christ served no matter the response. Now I want you to notice a third and final point as we close this evening. Ministry not only means active service. It means not only serving no matter the response, but also it means exhibiting the Master's example. Would you please look at verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know you what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. So notice a couple of thoughts here as we would consider that ministry means exhibiting the Master's example. One, it means that we exhibit Christ's example of humility. Folks, I don't think that we can truly, accurately, fully comprehend the humility of Christ. He came to earth, became 100% human man. He was tempted in all manner of sin, yet he did not yield to sin. He dealt with all of the challenges and obstacles that a human being would face. He dealt with all these different responses. Here was Christ, who was God, God in the flesh, King of kings, Lord of lords. And yet he still could stoop to wash his disciples' feet. Now let's think about this a minute before we gloss over this. Remember something, folks. Remember where we are. We are at the Last Supper. He just washed the feet of whom? Judas Iscariot, who in just a few moments walked out of that room to go betray the Savior. He washed those feet, knowing what those feet were going to do. He washed the feet of Peter, who would follow Christ, and he'd stay out in the courtyard and ultimately deny Christ three times, and then with those feet run away and weep bitterly. He washed the feet of the disciples who, when they were confronted in the Garden of Gethsemane, they fled because they were full of fear. What an example. Why? How could he do that? Humility. Christ had humility. Folks, you know what impedes us from serving? A lack of humility. Again, we have girls. Our girls at Camp Shatek, when they get to do a lot of cleaning. Guess what they get to clean? Bathhouses. Right? Toilets, showers, on both the guy's side and the girl's side. Girl's side's far worse usually. Yeah, I know, but it's true. And they'll come back and they say, "Oh, Pastor Scott, I had to clean the girl's shower drain, and I had this huge clump of hair come out, and it was so gross." And I say, "Better you than me." No. Say, "Yeah, it is gross, but I want you to think of something. Think if we went an entire summer with none of you cleaning out those shower drains." Like, ooh. Said, "Yeah. Yeah. Think if we never emptied the trash. Think if we never did the dishes. You know? Just kind of lick them and let them go back through." I know I'm being disgusting, folks. That's all right. You'll get over it. Folks, you know what? To serve takes great humility. I know a lot of Christians, and included in that group of Christians are pastors, evangelists, and missionaries even, who will not deign to get their hands dirty. They will not roll up their sleeves. They will not enlist and serve for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know why? Because of stinking, rotten pride. If my Lord and Savior could wash the feet of these disciples, who am I to not be able to serve others? Right? If my Lord and Savior could walk to Golgotha and allow Himself to be hung on the cross and shed His precious blood and deal with the Father turning His back on Him, and suffer the scoffing and the scorning and all the abuse and the torture that He did so that mankind might have the opportunity to receive Christ as Savior, who am I to not be able to clean a toilet? Or to be able to clean a church building? Or to give a word of witness and testimony to someone who's lost? Or to come alongside another brother or sister in Christ and help them in some way? We have got to exhibit the Master's example of humility. We also need to exhibit Christ's example of love. Look at verse 34, would you please? He says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Not a commandment to love, but a new commandment to love as Christ loved. And folks, I know I've already beaten this into the ground a few times this week, but love is at the core of our living as Christians. When we choose to love as Christ loved, it overlooks what might have to be done. It doesn't care. True love doesn't care about the nastiness of the job. True love doesn't matter if we don't get applauded or praised or recognized. True love can deal with rejection, with initial refusal, with misunderstanding, with astonishment. True love can deal with those kind of responses. True love keeps on serving no matter the response. True love keeps on serving deliberately and purposefully. Christ gave us an example. We need to follow His example. If our churches truly got more serious as a corporate whole about serving the Lord, I have no doubt that we would be seeing some amazing things. Now, that's not to say that there aren't people serving here. I know that there's people serving here. I've seen it this week, and I am very appreciative for those who are serving. And not just this week, but I know that there's other people that serve in other ways outside of this realm. But can I ask you, are all of you serving? Are all of you trying to serve in some way within this church? Next, are you trying to serve the Lord on a daily basis? Serving the Lord through your work? Serving the Lord through what you do at home? through your opportunities in the community? Are we looking to do deliberate deeds for apparent needs? Are we looking to do these things because we are wanting to follow the Master's example? Are we doing these things because we ultimately are doing it for the glory of God? Are we doing these things because we recognize that our earthly service has eternal value? Folks, we need to have the understanding of the meaning of ministry so that we will actually engage our lives in it. Let's bow our heads and pray. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, before I pray and have this time of invitation, we need to be serving, each and every one of us. You say, well, I'm older and I'm more limited because of physical health issues and so forth. You know what? Maybe your primary means of serving is praying. Praying for the people of your church. Praying for unsaved people that you know of. Praying for your pastor. Praying for all kinds of different needs. What a ministry of service that is. Maybe it's something else. Maybe you've been asked to do something before and you've refused it for one reason or another. And again, I understand not everyone can do everything. But maybe you could and you just haven't. Or maybe you've seen an opportunity in your home or somewhere else and you've just kind of ignored it. You've just made an excuse for it. Folks, there's a very thin line between service and labor. We need to see opportunities to serve and not just accomplish work. Tonight, I don't know how the Lord's worked in your heart. I trust that as God may have burdened your heart, maybe He's brought to mind some things, some areas that you could be serving. Maybe you've gotten discouraged and you've stopped serving because you've had to deal with some negative responses. Maybe you have to admit that maybe you've grown a little calloused. Maybe you've grown proud and even arrogant, and so you have thought that there are things that are too beneath you in order to serve. Maybe the Lord is grabbing your attention. Maybe He's breaking your heart tonight, and you recognize that there are some issues that you need to deal with the Lord. Whatever it might be, this time of invitation is a perfect opportunity for you to take some time to pray, seek God's face, get these things settled, and begin to live in the consciousness of the true meaning of ministry on a daily basis. Lord, please take your word and use it. It's such a privilege that you would desire for us to be your servants. And yet we waste so much of that opportunity. Lord, even tonight, even if it's just one person that would come to some new resolution or resolutions in regards to serving you as a result of this message, I pray that you would do that work, that you would accomplish what you would, even in that just that one heart. And that, Lord, as a result of that, even just one person being affected, that it would literally change the complexion of this ministry. It would change that person themselves and others that they would be around. And ultimately, Lord, what we desire is that it would impact others and most importantly, bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please stand, your heads bowed, eyes closed, as the song is played. If you need to deal with something about what you heard tonight, please take the time to respond.